Okay, good morning to everyone. I'm glad to see you. I've been looking forward to class as I normally do each Sunday morning. I've been preparing for class through prayer, through study, through meditation. So I'm glad to see you. I want to wish the fathers who are with us. And right now, I only see Brother BJ. I don't even see Deacon Wendell Young with us this morning. But to all our fathers and others of becoming, happy Father's Day. Father is such a strategic position. As you have heard me say, that is the one office of a father that is eternal. And that's Father God. That's the eternal office of Father. And what makes him a father is the eternal Son. So Father, there is no higher. Well, I won't say no higher, but to be father is a really high position, even an earthly father. So happy Father's Day to each one of you. May you continue to grow in grace. And happy day to all the rest of you. So I don't know if Brother Lucas is with us or not, but usually on Mother's Day, when he would see me, he would, because I don't have children, he would just tell me, happy day. And I would receive that. So to you all who are may not be fathers, men out here, happy day to you, as well as to all the sisters in Christ. We want to continue to keep one another in prayer. Last week was a challenging week for me, but the Lord brought me through the week. And I know you know all about challenging weeks. We all have challenges in this life, and we will, as long as we're on this side of glory. There will always be something or other to deal with in life. But God is ever with us. God is ever present. God gives us the victory through Jesus Christ, our Lord. I'm glad to see Becca Johnson with us. She's the newest person in our class that I know about. There are others that may be out here, and I don't know who you are. But this is Sister Becca's third week with us, I believe. And I'm glad she's with us, and I pray, Becca, that you'll continue with us. We're just normal people of God. We love the Lord. We're not the only people of God. God has many people. He has many children, but we are a few of his children, and we study together. We love the Lord, and we study together his word each week. Today, we're going to continue in Luke chapter 12. On my Zoom invitation this week, I mentioned that we will be looking at verses 49 through 59. So this will be, it turns out, this is going to be an introductory lesson to those verses, verses 49 through 59. So let's go to God in prayer, and then we'll go a little further. Father, we come before you on this Father's Day, and we say, our Father, who art in heaven, we hallow your name, the eternal, everlasting God, the eternal, everlasting Father. You are worthy to be praised. We give glory to the Godhead. Glory be to the Father, to the Son, and to the Spirit. Blessed be you, Lord God, the three in one. We thank you for your word, a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. We thank you for the blood of Jesus that continually cleanses us from sin. And we ask you now to forgive us of our sins, whatever they may be. We pray, dear Lord, forgive and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We pray to be in right standing with thee. Now we ask you, Lord, by your Spirit, to be our teacher, lead us and guide us in truth. We do pray for the fathers who are with us, Lord. We pray your continued blessing upon them, fathers and men of God, and our brothers in Christ. We pray that they will continue to grow in grace. The world needs good fathers. The world needs to see good men. The church needs to see good men and good Christian men. So we pray this upon them, that they will be blessed even more by you, the Lord. We pray for the absent part of us, Lord, for those who want to be here but couldn't. For whatever reason, we remember them in prayer. And we pray for one another, our brothers and our sisters in Christ, whatever they may be going through, Lord. We know that your grace is sufficient. So we pray for strength where strength is needed. We pray for direction where direction is needed. We pray for wisdom where wisdom is needed. We pray for provision in every way. Now, Lord, we love you and we praise you. And we say now to you, Lord, we ask you to speak, Lord, for your servants listen. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. So this morning we're in Luke chapter 12, verses 49 through 59. And I want to preface this passage by saying, when you read through the Bible, and I encourage each one of you to stay in the Word, read the Bible. I encourage some of you, all of you will not, all of you for various reasons, but I encourage those who can to read the Bible from cover to cover. At least read the book of Luke. If you have not read Luke in its entirety, starting at chapter 1 all the way through, for those who have not done that, I encourage you to do it. And even for those of you who have done read Luke since we've been in our study, it would be good to even go back now to see how things are coming together, starting back at chapter 1 in your reading. But I want to say, because I'm teaching, the way God gave me to teach is, he told me to stay in the Word, teach the Word. And you've heard me say many times, part of when God was preparing me and growing me up, raising me to teach his Word, he wanted me to read the Bible from cover to cover. That was one thing that the Lord told me to do, just stay in his Word, reading from Genesis to Revelation over and over again. And I have done that at least 18 documented times. And I was reading through the Bible even before I began to document it. But I'm saying all of this to say there are many things in Scripture that you will never hear about. And you could be in church most all of your life and not hear about a lot in Scripture, unless you're in the Bible reading it for yourself. And for now, that's not to say someone's not preaching it, someone's not proclaiming it. God's going to have someone to bring forth his Word. But God's Word is so full, so rich, that you do need to be in it. Now, such is the passage that we'll be looking at today. It is an unfamiliar passage. Most of you probably have not heard this passage. Maybe we've heard it preached through the years. I can't recall it being preached through the years. That's not to say it has not. I just don't recall it. So that means it's not a common passage. It's not a familiar passage. So for that reason and for other reasons, it's going to take us a little time to cover what God wants to reveal to us in these words. This passage, as we found out on last week, because I told you last week's passage, it was not the easiest passage to teach. But I'm committed to being faithful to teaching God's Word. I hope you all are committed to being faithful to hearing, studying, and keeping God's Word. So that means, because I'm teaching God's Word from Luke chapter 1 all the way to the end, there's going to be some passages in it that me naturally would just want to pass over. Let's just skip that and go on to another passage. But I'm committed to teaching God's Word in full, the portion that he gives me. That is one of the texts this morning. One of the passages is here in Luke chapter 12. So I have not personally spent, you know, you all, I want you to know, I hope you know, I have to study to teach. I just don't show up every Sunday. You know, I'm running this race. Now, I've been reading and studying for years, through the years, but I haven't been teaching like this particular text this morning. I've never taught this. So not only this passage, but all of them, I have to study. I have to prepare. Now, this passage here, let's look at it. Let's start out by reading it. And I encouraged you last week to do your own reading of it and get ready for our study of it. But Luke chapter 12, beginning at verse 49, And it says, I came to send fire on the earth. And how I wish it were already kindled. Now, you must stop right there, because you can say, well, when's the last time you heard anyone say, everyone, please make sure you're on mute. When's the last time you heard someone say Jesus came to send fire on this earth? You don't hear that, but it's true. It's part of the word of God, and we're going to find out that's part of his mission statement and his first coming, is that he came to send fire on the earth. And how I wish it were already kindled. But I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how distressed I am till it is accomplished. So that's in this passage, 49 through 59, I would say that's one section right there, verse 49 and 50. Because, you know, I use the analogy of putting the food on your plate. Well, you portion it off. And so when we portion off 49 through 59, I portion verse 49 and 50 together. That being Jesus's mission. And we see in these verses, and I'll come back to it later, in verse 49 and 50, that there are two mission statements right here in those verses. Then we go on to verse 51. Jesus has a question. He asks, do you suppose that I came to give peace on earth? I tell you, not at all, but rather division. So that's part of a mission statement as well. Matter of fact, that would be a third mission of Jesus. But now we lead into division. And so this next portion, verse 51, still talking about mission, a mission statement, an objective of why Jesus came. And another objective in verse 51. But verse 51 ends with the word division. And we're seeing now more and more division happening in the book of Luke. So verse 51, do you suppose I came to give peace on earth? Good question. I tell you, not at all. We don't usually hear that, because the angel said, glory to God in the highest, peace on earth, goodwill towards men. And see, that's why we need the whole of God's word, because even here he tells us, do you suppose I came to give peace on earth? I tell you, not at all, but rather division. Now, we know what division is. Division is taking something that is a whole, W-H-O-L-E, and making it into parts. So Jesus, now we're going to notice this word division. All right, so verse 52. For from now on, five in one house will be divided, three against two, and two against three. Now you have to ask the question, what's bringing the division? Why is there going to be five in one house, three against two, two against three? What caused the division? Well, the answer was just given to us in verse 51, that Jesus came to divide. He is a divider. We'll talk about that more as we go. Verse 53, father will be divided against son, and son against father, mother against daughter, and daughter against mother, and mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. Further division. What's causing the division? Once again, Jesus. Jesus is a divider in spiritual things. All right, so that would be like a title of this lesson, and it's the caption in my Bible, Christ, a divider of men in spiritual matters. Let's keep going. So that passage there, verse 49 and 50 and 51 as well, talks about Jesus's mission. There are mission statements in those verses. Then we see this word division comes on the scene. And we see division in verse 51, divided in verse 52, divided in verse 53. Now we come on down to verse 54. Then he also said to the multitudes, whenever you see a cloud rising out of the west, immediately you say, a shower is coming, and so it is. And when you see the south wind blow, you say, there will be hot weather, and there is. Hypocrites, you can discern. See, that word discern is a word of judgment. So now we're in a passage talking about judgment. Verses 54 through 59, talking about judgment. Really, all of it is talking about judgment. But in my, you know, portioning off the meal for me to eat, to serve, I subtopic, verse 54 through 59, judgment. All right. So verse 54 said, whenever you see a cloud rising out of the west, you say a shower is coming. And so it is. So that's a judgment there, because the person sees the cloud rising. That's the indication rain is coming. And so it is. A judgment is made. Verse 55, you see the south wind blow. And that's true today. We know if the flags and the wind is coming from the south, heat is coming. And there will be hot weather. And there is. Verse 56, hypocrites, you can discern the face of the sky and of the earth, but how is it you do not discern this time? In other words, the time Jesus in their midst, dividing, some are against him, and more people are going to be against the Lord Jesus as we get closer to Calvary. And we have to keep in mind with Luke chapter 9, Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem to be crucified. And the tenor of the book of Luke, as you can see, is different from that first part of Luke, where there were all these miracles and Jesus was doing great things. He's still doing great things. But now his enemies, they have set out now to destroy him and to kill him. And that happened, if you go back to chapter 11, in chapter 11, verse 53, it says, and as he said these things, chapter 11, verse 53, and as he said these things to them, the scribes and the Pharisees began to assail him vehemently and to cross-examine him about many things, lying in wait for him and seeking to catch him in something he might say that they might accuse him. And from here on out, those enemies are determined to kill Jesus. And so things are turning now, and the text we see becomes one of judgment. Let's go back to Luke chapter 12. So Luke chapter 12, verse 56, hypocrites. You can discern, you know, where you tell the difference between things. You can discern the face of the sky and of the earth, but how is it you do not discern this time? Yes, and why even of yourselves do you not judge what is right? And that's how last week's lesson ended, on judgment. So we're still talking about judgment. So 57 says, yes, and why even of yourselves do you not judge what is right? Jesus in their midst, his words and his works declared that he was the Son of God, that he was God. The wind was blowing. They could discern when the south wind blows, it's going to be hot. But Jesus standing in their midst, being the Christ, the Son of God, and they rejected the truth. So therefore, he says, hypocrites. Verse 58, when you go with your adversary to the magistrate, make every effort, this is a parable, make every effort along the way to settle with him. lest he drag you to the judge. The judge deliver you to the officer. The officer throw you into prison. This is fitting in with last week's lesson. I tell you, you shall not depart from there till you have paid the very last mite. So that's our scripture that we'll be in until we're done this week and for sure next week. So I've portioned off the text so we can see it. You know, Lord, help us to comprehend. And in order to comprehend, you have to bite it down, put it into bite size. Now let's look at this, starting at verse 49 again. And we see, let me read 49 through 51. I came to send fire on the earth. And I'm asking you to look for mission statements here of Jesus. Jesus's mission statements. I came to send fire on the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. But I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how distressed I am till it is accomplished. Do you suppose that I came to give peace on earth? I tell you, not at all, but rather division. Okay, so the missions here in these passages, these verses, there are three distinct mission statements of Jesus. And we're going to come back to them. But let's go back to Luke chapter 4, because since we've been in Luke, and for Becca, who's with us, Becca joined in with us in Luke chapter 12. But some of you, let's go back to Luke chapter 4. Some of you have been in this study with me since we started in Luke chapter 1. We started in Luke chapter 1, verse 1, and today we're in Luke chapter 12. But let's go back to Luke chapter 4. Because we have seen all along in Luke mission statements of the Lord. Now, most businesses, companies, even churches have mission statements, have objectives. They tell what they're all about. It could be like a sub-theme of the church. Well, here we see mission statement of Jesus in Luke chapter 4. Great big mission statement, why he came. Why did Jesus come the first time? Well, it tells us in Luke chapter 4, verse 16. So Jesus came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. And he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written. So now his mission statement is going to come straight from the word of God. Here it is, the prophecy given in Isaiah. Jesus came to fulfill his mission. Verse 18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. And as you all have heard me say, there's the Godhead right there. God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit right there in those verses. Verse 18, the Spirit, that's the Holy Spirit, of the Lord, that's the Father, is upon me, that's the Son. So the Godhead meets together in Jesus. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me. So Jesus being anointed by the Spirit for service. Here comes the missions. Why did Jesus come? Well, you notice the T-O's, and there are quite a few T's. So the two indicates is indicative of mission. First mission, he came to preach. To preach what? The gospel. To who? To the poor. He came to do what? He was sent to do what? To heal the brokenhearted. To proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind. To set at liberty those who are oppressed. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. And so those are mission statements. It's a mission of what? Rescue. It's a mission of deliverance. It's a mission of recovery. It's a mission of relief. It's a mission of restoration. It's a mission of salvation. Why Jesus came. All right, so that's first mission statement that I'm starting at today in Luke. Then let's go on over to Luke chapter 4, verse 43. And we saw the next mission statement of Jesus in the book of Luke. And it says, 4:43, but he said to them, let's start at 42. Now when it was day, he departed and went into a deserted place. And the crowd sought him and came to him and tried to keep him from leaving them. That's pretty, really, to me. He departed, went into a desert place. The crowd sought him, came to him, tried to keep him from leaving them. But he said to them, I must preach the kingdom of God to the other cities also, because for this purpose I have been sent. So Luke chapter 4, he was in Nazareth, he was in his hometown, he was in Galilee, doing those things, preaching, proclaiming, rescuing, his mission. But now he lets us know in verse 43, I've got to go to other cities to do the same mission, but he has to go to other cities. Let's go on over to chapter 9. Chapter 9, which was a transitional chapter, we studied that. Chapter 9, things change in chapter 9. So in chapter 9, verse 22, we meet up with this next mission statement. And chapter 9, verse 22 says, Jesus is saying, let's start at 21 to get the context better. And he strictly warned and commanded them to tell this to no one, saying, the Son of Man, that's Jesus, must suffer many things. Notice the word must. He must suffer. Mission. His mission is he must suffer many things. And part of his mission, be rejected by the elders and chief priests and scribes. Mission. And be killed. That's Calvary. Mission. And be killed. Mission. And be raised the third day. So he states for the first time in the book of Luke that he will die, he will be killed, he will be rejected. And that's the first time he said that in Luke. Now let's go to Luke chapter 9, verse 56. Luke chapter 9, verse 56. And let's start at verse 54. Luke chapter 9, verse 54. And you'll see why a little later. I start at 9:54. And when his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, Lord, let's go up a little further. Let's go back a little further because it's going to fit in with our scripture today of dividing. So let's go back to 51, Luke chapter 9, verse 51. Now it came to pass when the time had come for him to be received up, getting ready to go to Calvary, that he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem and sent messengers before his face. And as they went, they entered a village of the Samaritans to prepare for him. But they did not receive him. Okay, you all see that? They did not receive him because his face was set for the journey to Jerusalem. But key right there is they did not receive him because his face was set for the journey to Jerusalem. And when the disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them just as Elijah did? Now, notice the word fire, because fire is how Luke 9 started out this morning, verse 49, where Jesus said, I came to send fire. But here in Luke chapter 9, verse 54, the disciples, James and John, they said, Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them? Now, fire, that's one mission of fire, is to consume. Fire consumes. That's one thing fire does. Do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them just as Elijah did? But he turned and rebuked them and said, you do not know what manner of spirit you are of. For the Son of Man, mission statement, the Son of Man did not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. Okay, so that, and they went to another village. So we see the mission statement there in verse 54, the Son of Man, he didn't come. Jesus didn't come to destroy men's life, but to save them. That is why he came. He came to save. Amen. However, as we saw last week, now let's go back to Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12, verse 41 through 48. And we saw those servants, stewards, the faithful steward and the unfaithful stewards. And there was one steward. He did what the master wanted him to do. And that's in verse 41 through 44, where that first steward did what the Lord wanted him to do. So verse 43 says, blessed is that servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes. So first servant did. The word do is so important. It's not about just hearing the word of God. It's about hearing and doing. It's about believing and following it up with action. It's a do is such an important word. And then we went to the next three stewards, and each one of them did not do what the master wanted. And the three of them, we saw them last week, all of them ended up in hell, in different levels of hell, but they all ended up to condemn, those three, because they did not keep the master's will. So Jesus is a divider. We see him dividing right there with the stewards. He divided. How did he divide? He divided. One ended up blessed. The other three ended up not blessed. So the divider came based on obedience to the word of God. Now we're saved by grace. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. I believe that's in Ephesians. So we are saved by grace through faith. However, if you're really, really saved by grace through faith, there will be actions that follow your faith. Faith without works is dead. And so there will be a doing of God's will if you're really his child. Now, that doesn't mean we're perfect. As I've said many times, we're not perfect people, but we are growing in grace. We want to strive. We're working out our salvation. We're pressing towards the mark of the high calling of God. So that mission, now the last mission I gave was Luke chapter 9, 56, where Jesus was telling James and John that he came to save. So let me look at that again. Luke chapter 9, verse 54, they wanted to call down fire. Jesus told him, you don't know what manner you're speaking of. I came to save. Yes, he did. He did come to save. But now we see in Luke chapter 12, now, because he came to divide, he also lets us know, yes, I came to save. This Bible is a two-edged sword. He also came to send fire on the earth. And how I wish it were already kindled. Now, I want you all during the week to do your own studying, your own meditating. We still have quite a bit of time this morning. But in preparation for our lesson for next week and maybe weeks following, I want you to think about fire and study fire. The purposes of fire. What does fire accomplish? What does fire do? What does fire does not do? Why did Jesus come to send fire? And then there's quite a few words in this passage that you can look up as well to get a clear understanding of these words, all right? So Jesus' mission is to send fire on the earth. That's verse 49. He has a baptism to be baptized with. That's not water baptism. That happened. John the Baptist baptized him in water. back earlier in Luke, but he has another baptism to be baptized with, and that is his death. That is Calvary. That is him being baptized into death. And then he says, we hear his heartbeat here, because verse 50 says, how distressed I am. That's the emotion of the Lord. What's going on inside Jesus's soul, inside of his emotions? He lets us know right here, how distressed I am until it is accomplished. And so you can see it's getting darker on the scene, because Jesus now headed towards Calvary. Things are heating up. Things are tuning up. And Jesus has this baptism that he's got to be baptized with. He wants to be baptized with it, but it distresses him. And some of you women out here can relate to this. I think of the illustration of a woman, a pregnant woman. Well, you want the child. You want the child. But you think of what you got to go through for that child to come forth. The pain, the agony of it all. But in order for the child to come forth, you just got to go through the caring of it, the 9 months, and the actually birth of the child. There's pain, there's distress, there's blood, sweat, and tears. And so Jesus now becomes distressed, as it were, because the cross of Calvary, the shadows are looming. So that's mission number two. And then mission number three, he lets us know, do you think I came to send peace on earth? I tell you, not at all, but rather division. And we see the dividing of the Christ based on how he is received or how he is rejected. So let's go to Luke chapter 2. Let's go back to Luke chapter 2 and see where these missions started. Simeon. Let's go back to Luke 2. Now, we studied Simeon way back. We were in the church building back in Luke chapter 2. But let's go to Luke 2 this morning. Luke chapter 2, verse 34. We're going to see this dimension of division starting early on in Luke. So Luke chapter 2, verse 34, Simeon. Then Simeon blessed them, that's Mary and Joseph, and said to Mary, his mother, behold, this child, that's Jesus, is destined for the fall and the rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which will be spoken against. So there's the division there, and it's based on Jesus Christ. You either fall on the side of you're for him, or you fall on the side or you're against him. There is only two sides, ultimately. So behold, this child is destined for the fall of many, and that fall is an eternal fall, ending up in an everlasting hell. For the fall of many and for the rising of many. And that's for us, believers and saints, disciples of Christ. Jesus lifts us up. We ascend in Christ. We are exalted with him. And so Jesus comes forth. Simeon prophesied it way back in Luke chapter 2. Then let's go to Luke chapter 3. Let's go to Luke chapter 3, John the Baptist. And John the Baptist, he's out by the river Jordan, and he's preaching, and he's proclaiming, and he's in the wilderness. So Luke chapter 3, verse 15. Luke chapter 3, starting at verse 15. Now, as the people were in expectation and all reason in their hearts about John, whether he was the Christ or not. So you get the picture. John's in the Baptist. He's in the wilderness. He's preaching, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And the people come and the people are wondering, is John the Baptist the Christ that we've been waiting for or not? John answered, saying to all, I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I is coming, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to loose. He will baptize you. There's that word baptize. That would be a good word to look up as well. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. There's two baptisms there. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Okay? You want to just keep them separate. They're separate baptisms. His winnowing fan. Now, yesterday, well, let me read the verse. Verse 17. His winnowing fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly clean out his threshing floor and gather the wheat into his barn, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. You all see the division going on there? Jesus says, John the Baptist said about Jesus, he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. That's one group. But another group's going to be baptized with fire. His winnowing fan, and this is what I was going to say. Last night I had to look up winnowing fan. I had to look up threshing floor, gathering the wheat. I looked at some videos on YouTube with winnowing fans. So that's something else I would like for you to do this week as well, if you can, is to look up winnowing fan and see how things are divided, see how things are separated through the illustration of the winnowing fan. So John the Baptist says about Jesus, he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fan is in his hand. So when Jesus comes, he came, because John the Baptist is talking about one is coming. Isn't that what he said in verse 16? One mightier than I is coming. His sandal strap, I'm not worthy to loose. Mission statement. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Mission statement. He will baptize you with fire. His winnowing fan is in his hand. So this first coming of the Lord is like the fire has really already started, but it's under now because we're in the day of grace. Jesus' winnowing fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly clean out his threshing floor, this world, the people of the world, and gather the wheat into the barn. That's separating. Gather the wheat into the barn, but the chaff he will burn. There's that fire. There's that baptism of fire. Burn with unquenchable fire. Now, I know we've heard through the years, some of us have heard, you know, he said we'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit and with fire. And many have made that Pentecost and being filled with the Holy Spirit. I see that when you think of the word baptized, and you all think of that word baptized, the word baptized is what? Baptized is a total submersion into. You know, we think of water baptism, and you all have heard me say this, some of you, if it's one thing Baptist folks know how to do, we know how to baptize someone. You know, that's where we derive our Baptist name from. We got baptism down good. So baptism, think of water baptism, where you're standing in the water. Then you go down and you put all the way down into that water. It's a submersion. Barrett, that's it, representing the old man Barrett in Christ. But just get the illustration of baptized, fully baptized in water. Then we're brought back up in newness of life. But put that in relationship to fire, baptism with fire. And you think, who wants to be baptized in fire? Who wants to be submerged in fire? And so that fire baptism, in it all its fullness, is for sinners. It is for the unredeemed. And that's why you see all this fire, and this fire comes along. Because it's either you got the Holy Spirit in you and baptized with him and by him and baptized in the Holy Spirit, or else you will end up in that other baptism, which is the baptism of fire. And if you carry it all the way to the end, let's go all the way to the end. Revelation chapter 20. Let's go to Revelation 20. Now this passage, and I've been praying, because as I told you, I'm turning to Revelation 20. As I told you, I haven't taught this before, and I have to study. I have to prepare. I have to pray. So I'm doing that. Lord, help me to teach your word and to teach it right. And I'm teaching it as he's giving it to me today. Okay, let's go to Revelation 20 to see this ultimate baptism in fire. The first coming of the Lord, he came. He came to divide. The fire was kindled as it was. It started, but it hasn't fully exploded or combusted yet. So when we get to Revelation chapter 20, let's go all the way to 20. And we've seen in previous weeks the judgment of sinners. And it says in Revelation 20:11, I saw a great white throne and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, the sinners, because Jesus is the way, Jesus is the truth, Jesus is the life. And if you're not in Jesus' life, then you're dead. And I saw the dead, small and great, doing what? Standing. So that's a resurrection there of the dead. I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God. And then it goes on and on, talking about the judgment. And you notice the word in verse 12, and the dead were judged according to their works. And that's why I say doing. It's one thing to say you know the Lord and say you're a Christian, but that has to be followed up by fruit. It has to be followed up with action. Okay, verse 12, and the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the book. The sea gave up the dead, this resurrection of the dead, and they were judged, each one according to his works. Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. Verse 15, and anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. So that's that ultimate baptism of fire. So it depends on which baptism you're going to be part of. Are we going to be part of the baptism? Now, we know on the day of Pentecost that tongues set upon them as flames of fire. Tongues set upon them. That's in Acts chapter 2. Tongues did set upon them as of fire. But that's not, they were baptized. They weren't totally submerged in fire. That's what baptism is all about, is being totally submerged in. All right, so that's division there. So we see Luke saying in Luke chapter 3, verse 16. I hope you all are still with me here. Luke chapter 3, verse 16. John answered saying to all of them, whether you repented or not, saying to all, I baptize you with water, but one mightier is coming, whose sandal I'm not worthy to loose. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. So you all notice, actually, there's three different baptisms in verse 16. There's the baptism with water. There's the baptism with water. Most of us have been baptized with water. And that's a good thing. Then there's the baptism with the Holy Spirit. And then there's a baptism with fire. Verse 17, Jesus' winnowing fan, and this is what I want you to look at and study during the week. Winnowing fan in his hand to thoroughly clean out his threshing floor and gather the wheat. That's us. You're either wheat or tare. You know, ain't no in between. You're either part of the wheat or you're part of the tare. Gather the wheat into the barn, but the chaff he will burn. He will burn with unquenchable fire. So we're down to 6 minutes. Let's go to several scriptures. Let's go to John chapter 3. John chapter 3, verse 16. We've heard this through the years. John, and that's a good thing. John chapter 3, it's a common passage. It's a well-known passage. Luke chapter 12 is not so well-known, but it needs to be said too. You know, these passages in the Bible, God put them in there to warn people, to motivate us too, and to warn others. All right, John chapter 3, verse 16. And it reads, for God so loved the world. Yes, he did. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish. That's that hellfire. Should not perish, but have everlasting life. You all see the divider? It's either you're going to ultimately perish, or you're ultimately going to have everlasting life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world. Jesus didn't come to condemn the world. He came that we might be saved. That's why he came, that we might be saved. Everybody. He who believes in him is not condemned. And we rejoice in that. We're not condemned if we're believers in the Lord Jesus. For real, not just mental knowledge. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe, there's the divider, believe in him. He who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And then you can read the next words. Well, I need to say, read them. And this is the condemnation. Light has come into the world. You know, remember the parables in Luke 12? The wind blowing from the south, the cloud rising, and they could discern that. But verse 19 here says, this is the condemnation. Light came into the world, Jesus, and men loved darkness rather than the light because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. See, that light is dividing. Verse 21, but he who does the truth comes to the light that his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done in God. Verse 36, real quickly. We have 3 minutes. Verse 36, he who believes in the Son has everlasting life. And he who does not believe, there's a division. He who believes has life. He who does not believe the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God. The wrath of God. And that's how those three unfaithful stewards, what they had to face was the wrath of God abides on him. Quickly, let's go to Psalm 1, the first number of Psalms. Back in the Old Testament, the book of Psalms. And if you can't find it quickly, just listen, because we only have 2 minutes. Psalm 1. And Psalm 1, I'm trying to get there myself, even though I know it from memory, I think, on a good day. Psalm 1, blessed is the man. That's how it starts out. Blessed is the man. Psalm 1. Okay, Psalm 1. Blessed is the man. Don't we want to be part of that blessed group? And then it goes on talking about the blessed man, the one who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. He doesn't stand in the path of sinners. He doesn't sit in the seat of scornful. Why not? Because he's a saved man. And saved folks shouldn't be acting like the world. There should be a difference. Fire purifies. That's something else about fire. It purifies, it sanctifies, but it burns up mess. And so Psalm chapter 1, and then it says verse 4, Psalm 1, the ungodly are not so. So you have two men. One is blessed. Verse 4, the ungodly are not so, but they are like the chaff, which the wind will do what? Drive away. And see, Jesus came with that fan in his hand. He came to divide. And then Psalm 2 quickly says, and then I have to pray. Psalm 2 verse 12 says, Psalm 2 verse 10 says, be wise, kings, be instructed. See, Jesus is saying, come to me, love me, serve me, be saved. Verse 12, kiss the Son, love Jesus, lest he be angry and you perish in the way when his wrath is kindled. There's another word, kindled, but a little. Blessed are all those who put their trust in him. Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus, and we declare, Lord God, we do put our trust in you. You are all our hope and all our trust. We thank you for sending Jesus into the world that we might be saved and have everlasting life. We thank you that salvation is free. We thank you Jesus came to save. We thank you, Lord, and we praise you. But we also know he came to set fire. He came to bring about fire. And so we pray for sinners, Lord. All of us know people on their way to hell. And so we pray, let our light so shine before men that someone may see our good works and glorify you, our Father who is in heaven. Be with us this week. Keep us in your care and be with us, Lord. Bless us. Provide every need until we meet again. Again, we say thank you for being our Father. Bless the fathers of this class. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Good word. God bless you.
Amen.
Were you all praying for your teacher?
Yes.
Yes.
Thank you. I needed them. Keep praying for me as I prepare and study, because I want to teach God's word right. So
you do a good job. Thank you.
Praise the Lord.
Doing a great job.
Y'all make sure you get in the right baptism. Amen.
Thank you for the attachments.
Oh, you're welcome. Yeah. On the last Zoom invitation, I had an attachment, if you missed it. God bless everyone. Hope you have a good day and a blessed week.
All right. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Did Deacon and Sharon Young make it with us?
Yes, they was on there.
Okay, so Sister Cole probably made it.
And Joe Williams. And
is Joe on here? Is he still here?
Joe.
Hi, Joe and Eunice.
And Eunice. Father's Day.
Happy Father's Day. Joe and Eunice, I'm waving at you. That was a sign of life. Way back. Glad to see you. Glad to see our guest. The guest is unknown to me. I don't know who that is, but I'm glad our guest is with us every week. God bless you. God bless everybody. God be with you till we meet again. Amen.
And the same to you.
Thank you.
Amen.